how did you hear about Surf Coffee? And he's like, it was a very, I was very, very drunk at a house party and I was smoking on the balcony and someone told me about it. And he's like, the next day when I woke up terribly hungover, I don't even know who the guy was, what his name was, but I remembered two words. That was Surf Coffee. Free. I've actually met someone, a high-powered banker from Singapore, who said stuff, you know, who said something like, you should be honored that I've come to your platform, and therefore you should give me a huge discount. And I was like, wow, after this conversation, I'm not so sure, you know, we want you on our platform anyway, but sort of a partner who matches up in all ways. There's, you know, the traditional sexist stereotypes of, oh, I'm looking for a housewife who can make, you know, three round rotis every day, doesn't exist, frankly, not with us at least. So they're all looking for a partner who can inspire them, who they can respect, and, you know, really have a good life with.
Hello everyone, Neil Patel here. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So today my guest is Naina Hirandani. She's the COO and co-founder of Surf Coffee. Surf Coffee helps global Indians find love. So in this exciting episode, she talks about servicing clients around the world using an offline approach to dating. She talks about the operational side of the business and why the business model has not changed over the last 10 years. She talks about why they don't spend money on marketing or take any investment. And finally, she shares some great dating advice you can try if you're footloose and fancy free. And finally, she talks about how to deal with those annoying aunties and much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hi, Naina. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Hi, Neil. Thank you for having us.
Please tell the listeners what you're building.
So I'm a part of Surf Coffee, which is a personalized offline dating service. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe, given that we're all swiping left and right these days, or, you know, clicking for everything we possibly need, right from groceries to your favorite movie. We're actually old school. We were founded way back in 2010. Mm-hmm. And we believe that, you know, for the ultimate sort of, for your human relationship, you do need a human touch. Mm-hmm. So we're a team of, you know, real matchmakers who get to know you, you know, become your best friends and figure out who you should be meeting. Mm-hmm. Once that's done, we actually set you up on dates. So there's actual skin in the game. Mm-hmm. If someone's single and looking and for a long-term meaningful relationship, I'm expecting them to, you know, go out for a drink or a coffee and meet someone new and see how it goes. So it's quite revolutionary, because the times that we're living in, which involves a lot of sort of, we all love too much knowledge, right? We want to Google everything. There's instant gratification. And somewhere here we are as a service, bringing in an element of mystery, you know, to the whole thing, saying you would know basics about this person, but not too much. You can't stalk them on Facebook. You can't stalk them on LinkedIn. You definitely can't go through their pictures, which may probably be taken way back in 2009. Mm-hmm. So in essence, it's far more authentic, right, than the kind of things that are happening today.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And you started in 2010. How are things going? Can you share some stats? How many people have signed up, or how many dates have you managed to arrange?
Right. So, Neil, to be honest, we've lost count. It's been awesome, really. I think we, at any given point, we're about servicing 1,200 clients from all around the world. Wow. And of course, a lot of these people, you know, our user base has grown at about 200% over the last 3 years. And we do absolutely no significant marketing spend. This is all word of mouth. Okay. These are actually people who are getting married, going out and telling their friends, or, I mean, what do like three guys, you know, talk about when they meet at a bar, right? Okay. After a couple of drinks, you're just like, hey man, what's happening? You know, are you seeing someone? Have you met someone cool? And that's when you actually say, yeah, I did go out on a date with this really interesting person, and so on and so forth. And that's how, you know, I mean, I think we're grateful to them, because I really do think our members are our biggest sort of brand ambassadors, right? Uh-huh. So about 50% of our clients are from India.
50%.
Another 35% are from these four major markets, which includes the US, the UK, Dubai, and Southeast Asia. So I would be talking about Hong Kong and Singapore. Mm-hmm. So the last couple of 15% are peppered across the world, right from Italy to Brazil to New Zealand to Nairobi. I mean, we've gotten all, you know, people from all corners of the world married, or, you know, help them find someone. So we're all about the person, mm-hmm. right? We're less about, we're not so fixated on age or religion mm-hmm. or what do they do for a living. I mean, there's got to be more substance, right, to the whole thing. So it's been going great. I mean, I think the whole sort of dating industry is pegged at, you know, estimated to be valued at 100 million in the next 5 to 8 years. So it's been fantastic. I think we get so much interest from all corners of the world, you know, single people, single parents, people who've lost their spouses, or people who are finding love a second, third time. Mm-hmm. It's a great mix up.
Let's go back to the start then. How did you get this off the ground? How did you bootstrap it? And how long did it take you to get your first paid customers?
Oh, absolutely. So when we started, which was way back, you know, in 2008, when the idea kind of struck, and my founder, actually, Sunil, was of the, you know, eligible marriageable age, which is 27, 28 for a desi person anywhere in the world, is when your mom comes, knocks on your door and says, "Beta, when are you getting married?" And he's like, "Well, I don't have anyone in my life, but I'm happy to sort of, you know, meet people if there's someone you want to suggest." And my mom said, you know, "Great." We're actually siblings, okay. Just to clarify. Okay. So, yeah. My mom said, "Great, Beta, why don't you give me your bio data?" And that's when he was like, "What? What are you talking about? Is she going to apply for a job? Like, why are we sort of doing this?" So over the years, and I'm sure, Neil, you know, lots of Desis in this position, that back then there was really nothing. It was just, you know, one.com, which is a huge matrimonial. Uh-huh. I'm sure you know what it is, but uh-huh. pretty much, you know, here they were, educated, sort of well-traveled, articulate Indians who got their together, man. They're on their A game. And then you're suddenly subjecting yourself to, you know, a bio data that's being circulated to God knows who and trying to find a match. And I think the worst part of it all is that you can't even meet people directly. You have to go via parents uh-huh. or via like 16 relatives, which, you know, who all additionally place like crazy filters, right? Like uh-huh. community and birth date and complexion. And like, you know, people write their weight on the bio data. I mean, this is not even stuff I'm making up, but, you know, I'm just like, what is happening? So we built Surf Coffee. We built the first prototype of Surf Coffee on a very meager budget. We got a design student to like create the website. And then, I mean, to be honest with you, it just really took off in about 3 months. So we tested the waters because we wanted to see how people, you know, would react to something like this. Yeah. And I'll be honest, there's tons of challenges because you wouldn't do so much online back then. I'm talking about, you know, 10 years ago, putting up really personal information about yourself through our application, because we were based in different countries. So if I had a client from Canada, the only way for me to sort of, you know what they're about is if they filled out an application, mm-hmm. right? Which includes the basics that I really need to know. Mm-hmm. So that was a challenge, you know, people felt this sense of, you know, why am I doing this? And can't we just talk on the phone? Or like, mm-hmm. can I just meet you and tell you about myself? But we broke even in 3 months, uh-huh. which was fantastic. In the time period of 2008 to 2009, people started getting married. So the first couple to actually get married was a long distance relationship. It, you know, worked out beautifully. They have a 6-year-old kid now. Uh-huh. And here's the other great story. Sunil also found his match on Surf Coffee. So
he works.
He validated the whole. Yeah, definitely. He's the first sort of success story, so to speak. And from then on, I think it just got easier because people were just tired of doing things the same old way, right? You need to sort of be talking to someone who understands you, who gets what it's like to sort of, you know, be looking, because in the traditional sort of desi ways, it's actually like trauma. It's traumatic because everywhere you go, you have like relatives shaming you or someone telling you you're asking for too much, man. You have to like really dumb down your expectations. And at Surf Coffee, we're not, you know, we encourage people to be who they are. Why should you be apologetic, right? Mm-hmm. If you're an investment banker who studied at an Ivy League school and has traveled the world, you're looking for a partner who to share these things with, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you're someone who lives, who's lived in Bombay all your life. The thing is, the average Indian has changed completely, right, mm-hmm. Neil? So everyone's very well exposed. We're all doing the same things as one culture. I think boundaries have truly diminished. So one of the best sort of success stories, or, you know, the happy endings that we see, is that so many people get married across borders. Like, mm-hmm. we just got someone from London married in February to a guy in LA. Mm-hmm. And she's super happy, right? I think it doesn't matter anymore. We're all sort of, you know, we're built of the same thing, where, you know, you come home and you eat dal chawal, right? Mm-hmm. Or you, all of us have that one annoying aunt in our family. And again, if we're looking for something committed and long-term, our whole idea is, sure, you know, we're here for you, but how can it work the other way around, where, you know, in the dot-coms or matrimonies, you're committing to this person and then getting to know them later, which is, in my opinion, like, super high risk, right? It's literally just going in blind and then, mm-hmm. you know, relying on destiny or fate, like a Bollywood rom-com, that things will be okay and you have a fantastic marriage. Yeah, man. That's something good. We just couldn't relate to.
How do you deal with that annoying auntie then? You know, I go to your website, I find someone, and the auntie hates my guts for the rest of my life.
Tell her you're getting on to Surf Coffee and you're going to do something about it.
Okay.
So what I love about all our clients, right, or people who come on to us, like, I think they sort of embody two main characteristics. One is that they want to take control of their dating life, right? They're not going to do things because mom and dad said it's a good idea, or they're heavily influenced by certain ideas. I think now every person I meet has been through 2 to 3 relationships, if not more. Mm-hmm. So they know what works for them and what doesn't, and what they should be looking for. Once you've had a beautiful relationship in the past, you kind of know what you're aspiring towards, right? I think the problem areas are, you know, when there's absolutely no exposure to this stuff. Mm. And the second most wonderful thing is that you actually appreciate, you know, quality over quantity. So, like, you know, Neil, technology is really sort of all pervasive in our lives. It's, you know, literally seeped into every single thing that we do. And this is my, you know, you have the paradox of choice, because you can get on a dating app right now and swipe mindlessly. You could be matched with 200 random people online, but you don't know who they are and what they stand for. And this is a whole, you know, sort of different ballgame, right? Because this stuff didn't exist before. So, like, things like people are going back to stuff that, you know, they really connected with. I'll be honest, right? Like, they, you know, you eat organic now because that's the right way to eat. It's whole food. You want to sort of, you know, balance. What is work-life balance? You've realized that you can't be working 14 hours a day. You need that downtime. You need to sort of mentally evolve as well, right? Or take care of your mental health. And it's the same thing with dating. It's that you can keep meeting people, but what does that result in, right? Is it really quality, or is it just, you know, going out with, you know, tons and tons of people to feel good about yourself? Mm-hmm. So I find that people who come to us are sensitive about this. They're cognizant of their time. They're busy folks. They're working really hard to sort of live a good life. And they're like, look, I'm happy to meet 5, you know, great people vis-a-vis 20. Mm-hmm. And I think that really sort of, you know, makes it for us.
Mm-hmm. So it's more quality than quantity. Is that right?
Definitely. Because you have, like, real matchmakers doing the vetting. So we're getting really in depth, right? When we have these interviews with prospective applicants, we ask them everything from, you know, what their family scene is like, to whether they drink and smoke, to, like, how much do they go out? What is their outlook to life? Because so much of matchmaking is not just traditional demographics. It's not about just how old you are and how tall you are and whether you're Punjabi or Sindhi or Gujarati. It's really about your core value system, right? And for you to really connect to someone, I think that's what we need to assess, right? And we've not really reached a stage where AI is sophisticated enough to really mm-hmm. get a sense of that. Maybe in 10 years, yes, but I really don't think we're there yet. And you can't just, you know, put in a few keywords and, oh, you like to watch Suits? So do I. I mean, we're a great match. I mean, that's just not it, right?
But what about the famous saying, opposites attract, then? Do you believe that?
I've learned in my 6 years of Surf Coffee to dispel all stereotypes, myths, and idioms, right? So I have seen opposites attract, and I think it's wonderful. They know what worked for them in a relationship, and they cracked it. And I think, you know, more or less, like I said, we're all looking for that familiar sense of belonging or home in another person, right? So there's a lot of sort of thought on, you know, I don't want, if I'm a lawyer, I don't want to meet another lawyer, because people think like you bring work home and that's all you talk about, or it gets competitive. So I'll see a lot of, you know, tons of people in the corporate world really be attracted to people who are in the creative, you know, industry. Like they want to meet someone who's very, very different. And I think there's also a fine line where sometimes there's too much difference, right? So you have to know what works for you. Like we see amazing stories pan out every day. We just got someone engaged 2 weeks ago, and he's like a hardcore lawyer and she's a jewelry designer. So she's on the opposite end of the spectrum. But what I found is that when we spoke to them individually and we first got them together, so much of what they were saying was just, you know, it was an epiphany. It was just like, oh my God, you guys should totally meet. And being open-minded, being positive, is very, very important in the process, right? So you don't need to read The Secret to tell you that, you know, things manifest in life. It's just a change in attitude, really.
Let me ask you the $64,000 question then. What do women want from men then?
Honesty. I think that's the number one thing that I hear, is that they just want people to sort of be who they are, right? And unfortunately, sometimes there's so much pretense in just, you know, how we project ourselves and what we're saying, but and you know, our actions need to sort of translate, right, into that. So every person that I meet, every woman rather, she's just like, I just want a good guy, you know, who's just himself, and he's kind, and he's you know, got character, and that's pretty much it. And if, and every time I talk to the men, I mean, and I think you may have thoughts on this thing.
They want Angelina Jolie, I think.
absolutely, or Aishwarya Rai, right? Like a Desi beauty queen. But you know, on a serious note, I think what I love about Surf Coffee is that it's very democratic. So we're not just, you know, we favor both genders. I see a number of rising Indian men who are very aware, very mindful. They all want sort of a partner who matches up in all ways. There's, you know, the traditional sexist stereotypes of, oh, I'm looking for a housewife who can make, you know, three round rotis every day, doesn't exist, frankly, not with us at least. So they're all looking for a partner who can inspire them, who they can respect, and, you know, really have a good life with. And I love seeing that, right? Like I don't get sort of told things like, I'm looking for a fair skinned girl, or I'm looking for a guy who makes XYZ money because, you know, he needs to upgrade my lifestyle. And these are things that happen. I mean, I'm sure your, you know, friends and peers can tell you about this, but people see marriage as social standing. You know, what am I getting out of this? And I'm really happy that our service can, you know, kind of eliminate this stuff and really look at it, you know, for what it is at its core, is that I love somebody and I want to be with them. And this is going to enhance my life. It's not like I need to be with them because I'm incomplete and it'll make me happier and, you know, I'm not living the best life that I can. I think all my clients are social. They go out. They're fun to be with. They're really interesting people. They can talk to you about anything under the sun. And, you know, they're so awesome that when you meet them, you're just like, man, I really want to find you somebody. And I think that's the greatest motivation.
I suppose with most dating sites, majority of people who sign up are men, probably, I assume. So I'm assuming that it's probably easy for a woman to sort of get a date. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, in terms of apps, at least, and sort of if you talk about traditional online dating, where it's just browsing through profiles, there's actually a study that just came out in India where they said 90% of, you know, users on the famous, the popular apps are actually men. But I actually see, we see the reverse on Surf Coffee. We see a lot more women. We actually have a 60-40 ratio. ratio of women to men. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that, Neil. One is that I think, you know, women know when they want to sort of ask for help in a certain department. Like if they're successful and single and really need help to sort of widen the search or help them meet somebody, mm-hmm. I think they're much more forthcoming in their actions to actually do that. Whereas I meet a lot of men who, you know, come across as a little overconfident. They're like, oh, I don't need to get on a service and I can manage just fine. And then 2 months later, they contact us and go like, okay, I think I do need you. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes, you know, there is a difference in the way both genders think. A lot of women do want to, you know, settle down eventually. Mm. So they're less inclined to sort of get onto a service that doesn't, you know, sort of match that goal. So it's not like they're, you know, really crazy about getting married, but they see themselves with that one person that could really cut it. And they reach a degree of being more forthcoming about it and just honest and saying, look, I need help, you know, help me figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Let's go back to the business then. So you broke even after mm-hmm. 3 months. Was that a surprise?
A good surprise. If we look at, you know, sort of just consumer behavior mm. back then, at least, I think people were it's very easy for them to spend on products, but sometimes it's a little more difficult or they're a little more hesitant to spend on services, especially intangible services. And you will not believe, I mean, we're now in 2019 and we're in a market where there are free services, plenty of them. There's apps are free, dating websites are free, but they'll still come to a Surf Coffee because they know what kind of value add you're bringing to their life. So back then it was challenging. You know, you'd constantly get questioned, why are you sort of charging for this kind of thing? It should be free. I've actually met someone, a high powered banker from Singapore who said stuff, you know, who said something like, you should be honored that I've come to your platform and therefore you should give me a huge discount. And I was like, wow, after this conversation, I'm not so sure, you know, we want you on our platform anyway. But I think a big learning has been sort of understanding people and, you know, consumer behavior. So I see a lot of young people that say in the, you know, 27 to 35 bracket, they're very, you know, they're more inclined to spend on this kind of stuff. They know that it's a service they need. Whereas if you look at someone maybe 40 plus, you know, they never heard of a Surf Coffee 20 years ago back in the day, right? Mm. And they're like, I don't know, but it's been great. I do have to say that so many people who come to us, sometimes people just stumble on the website or they find me on LinkedIn. You know, it's usually a random connection. Like I had a client in Bombay who got married through us and I asked him, how did you hear about Surf Coffee? And he's like, I was very, very drunk at a house party and I was smoking on the balcony and someone told me about it. And he's like, the next day when I woke up terribly hungover, I don't even know who the guy was, what his name was, but I remembered two words that was Surf Coffee. And he logged in, he, you know, created his application. We set him up on a date. I mean, the guy's been married since 2015 now. So it's wonderful, right? To see people just making it happen on their own. So we're, despite the, I wouldn't call it competition because I think we're not really offering the same thing. But of course, there are services now that are eating into the share, mm-hmm. right? And I think the world is our oyster and there's space for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, Neil, it's like we're not targeting, we don't want to be the Mark Zuckerberg of dating. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to grow with a fantastic user base, but it's really got to be phenomenal people. And it's hard to get that because you have to sort of vet and filter and make sure that this is an empowering service. This is a safe service and people are actually meeting good folks on it, mm-hmm. right? So our guard is always up more than anything.
How does this make you feel then?
Awesome. Just, I think what we do eventually turns out to be life-changing for a person. Mm-hmm. So not to compare us, you know, to noble professions like doctors, we're not saving lives here, but I think, you know, this is a part of who we are. You know, what makes humans, you know, the kind of species that wants to sort of, you know, cohabitate and, you know, procreate and all of this is because this is in our DNA. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be loved. We all want to be respected. And there's no doubt about that. So, you know, people, I'm happy for people who want to stay single and happily single. But I do think that, you know, when you just help them out a little in this part of their lives, it's just, it's life changing for them. I mean, I've been to weddings now. I mean, I hate weddings personally, Neil. You know, every time I have had clients who've come into my office and they're like, here's the card, you have to be there. Please don't, you know, make up excuses. And I'm telling you, it's overwhelming. Uh-huh. If anything,
you must have had lots of wedding cake.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a mixed bag, right? I think the beauty of working with people is that you're constantly learning. It's actually a psychological exercise. Because you're going deep into their mindset and also, you know, absorbing everything they're saying. So, you know, I understand that this might be a little too serious for your show, but I've spoken to people who've been in really bad marriages, mm-hmm. or I've spoken to people who've been in a very, you know, they literally hit rock bottom, to a point where they thought there was no return. And, you know, once they're in a good space, they have come to Surf Coffee, they have found somebody. And I feel so grateful to be able to do that, because I think people are constantly judging, or like if you're in a bad marriage, and you know, divorce was a stigma 10 years ago. I'm not even kidding. Like I would meet people where they're like, he's divorced? What do you mean? I don't want to meet him. There's probably something wrong with him. And now we've come to a point where, you know, you have, I mean, I think the numbers are crazy. I meet a rising number of Indians who have been separated or married before. If I'm not mistaken, the number has gone up 800% in the last 5 years. And so, you know, our lives are changing. Our mindset is changing. Someone who's not happy in a relationship is okay to walk out without thinking about what will my family say? What will my relatives say? Right? So there's always been this, you know, public shaming, right? When a relationship doesn't work out, you'll have gossip, you'll have like, it's probably her, it's not him. And these are very real instances that happen. And they come to us and we're not judging at any point. You know, the beauty of Surf Coffee's objectivity is that I will not sort of look at you differently because you're my best friend, or I will not look at you differently because you're a stranger. It's just integrity, I think, is one of the biggest things that carries us through. You know, even if you go on the website, we have a policy that you know, if we feel like we can't help someone, mm-hmm. we just don't offer membership. And that's something I see very, very few companies going, mm-hmm. you know, so many people who come to me are jaded. They're like, I tried this, I spent like a ton of money there and nothing happened. And I'm like, wow, I'm so sorry that happened to you, but this is why we actually work backwards. Do our due diligence and see if we can help you. Because I understand, right? It's an investment of not just time and resources. It's literally an investment in yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it is definitely 100%. Actually, what about, you know, people who are gay or lesbian and, you know, want to find love? Would you help them?
So we haven't been able to crack that market, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I have lots of friends, you know, who are in this boat and they're constantly asking, they're like, why don't you do something for us? But to be really frank with you, I just don't think it's something that I'm an expert at.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I think I've actually suggested to a bunch of people. I actually met someone in my office the other day who was planning to start something like this. And she said, you know, I've come to you for advice. And I said, go for it. You know, the only way you'll know, what works is if you have a deep understanding of the market, right, that you're tapping into. And that's critical. Like, what makes a good matchmaker, you know, different from a bad one? Mm-hmm. It's just really the ability to sort of understand people well, and no degree or qualification can help you do that. It's so much of it is intuitive. So I actually told her, I said, if this is something you understand really well, go for it. But I do believe there are like cool new services doing stuff, you know, in India, and it's changing. And, you know, it's all sort of open and positive, and it's nice to see. I think anyone coming into this segment is just helping grow the category, right?
Mm-hmm. What would this look like in 50 years' time then? What would dating look like in 50 years' time? We're dating robots and artificial intelligence.
I don't know, Neil. It scares me sometimes. I really feel like Black Mirror could be a real mirror to the reality we live in.
I suppose you could like date whoever you wanted to date, really, I suppose, in 50 years' time.
I know, and I don't know, you know, with all that teleportation happening, you could probably just, you know, whisk yourself off to a different country and meet someone from an entirely different, you know, gender, country, race, God knows. But what I really sort of see value in is that, you know, some things are things that you're old school about, especially, like I said, finding your partner, believing in love and, you know, believing in the good stuff. So even today, you'll constantly meet people who tell you they don't want to be tied down or they're afraid of commitment. And I respect all of that. I think as long as you know where you stand and again, your actions translate that, that's cool. But there's so many people, like I look at my parents' marriage and, you know, it's been 30 years plus and going strong. And mm-hmm. I know that's what I want with my husband, right? And sort of these things become a legacy in some way. So I already know that my clients have kids. I hope we're around by the time their kids are getting married, you know, and people can actually be like, hey, you know, I got set up through Surf Coffee. Beta, you should try this too, right? So we definitely want to wipe out that biodata stuff for sure. That is the dream. And to really, like I said, empower people to make good choices. And we're doing that with people in different cities. So someone who lives in a smaller city in India may not have the access, right, mm-hmm. to go on a date, or everything's very sensitive in terms of society. But when she comes on a Surf Coffee, privacy and discretion really allow her to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's awesome.
What about giving us some dating tips then? You know, it's coming near Christmas time. what should we talk about? Obviously, probably both people are nervous. Obviously, brush your teeth. That's the first one for me, I think.
Yeah, well, I think my top three sort of dating tips would, one, the first one I think would be to really put yourself out there in the right way and with honesty, right? So not to go on a date just because you have to, or your mom's pushing you to, or your best friend, you know, wants to introduce you to her colleague, but to really do it with the right intention. And I know I've spoken about this, but I think there is a weird subconscious energy that really allows, you know, just things to happen. Is that when you go in all positive and with honesty, you really see things happening. And I think it works on dates as well. I would not want to be on a date with a guy who's constantly just complaining about life and, you know, pretending like he's, I don't know, being nagged to be here, or just whining about his boss and work. And, you know, I mean, I think one of the deal breakers that I hear is that someone coming on a date and just complaining, right? Complaining about traffic or their job. And it's very simple. If you don't like your job, quit. Mm-hmm. Go find something else that you do love. But I think all of us want that, right? Is that great energy. So go out and date with the right intent. The second, as you described, is take care of yourself. And by that, I don't mean you need to go spend hours and hours in the salon and, you know, do all kinds of crazy stuff. But yeah, you know, dress well, dress appropriately, and also just go with a great attitude. So no one wants to be with someone who looks very different in real life from their dating persona. Because I know that that's a huge thing. Like, we'll all sort of pull out these clothes you know, that we haven't worn in 5 years and be like, this is who I am. Just be yourself. But yeah, take care of yourself. I would even say staying fit or doing something to sort of keep yourself going is critical in a day. Not only does, you know, it helps, does it help with physical fitness, but I think just emotional well-being, right? Is that you actually, this is a huge bonding point that I see in my clients. Some of my clients love to go hike together. They love physical activity. They want to go for a run together. And it's actually a great way to, you know, get to know people. Mm-hmm. Right. And the third, you know, dating tip is, I think if you like someone, don't be afraid to tell them. Like, communicate. Communication is the number one reason why, you know, great things in the potential actually don't work out, because one person just, you know, goes off the grid. I'm sure you've heard enough stories about ghosting. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, you know, I remember when I used to go on dates and if I didn't like the guy, I'd always text him and tell him that, you know, that I think you're a great person, but we're not a good fit. And these days it's just become so easy to disconnect, right? Like you can spend 3 weeks chatting with this person and getting really intimate to a point where they wake up every day and they're like, oh my God, I got to text this guy because it's been a great chat. And then next day, boom, he's like wiped off, you know, the face of the planet. And you're like, what happened? What did I do wrong? So communication is great.
He's probably married.
I hope not. You know, that's why if someone's looking for a relationship and is not sure, say it. You know, you never know. And our mindsets are constantly changing. But yeah, let's just not, you know, not say stuff or, you know, communicate incorrectly, because I think that's very damaging in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's talk about you then. What's your background?
So, Neil, I'm a journalist. I pretty much studied mass media and journalism. Always wanted to be a writer, so it wasn't much of a surprise when I actually started, you know, interning at the Indian Express, which is a mainline newspaper in India. I went on to work for Elle India, the fashion magazine. I've written for countless newspapers, magazines like Harper's Bazaar, GQ, all of it, and I think what really drew me to Surf Coffee is after a point, I really wanted to do something to make a difference, right? Mm-hmm. And if you've spoken to countless entrepreneurs, the reason they do what they want to do is because it's exciting. It's mm-hmm. just, you feel like there's something you want to unleash that the world hasn't seen, and you really want to change things around. So it's whether, you know, whether someone's consuming a product or using a service, you know, I was just like, there's this whole bunch of fantastic Indians around the world. Why is there nothing to help connect them? And I think once we came on, it was also challenging. Like, you know, in every sort of entrepreneur's journey, there's ups and downs, in the sense where, you know, people may not sort of believe in what you do. They may try to bring you down. I mean, I was actually questioned when I left a lucrative media job and like, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to do with your time? And do you need some freelance work? And I'm like, no, man, I'm going to be building a company and I'll be fine. So sometimes it's hard, but you really need to have that belief in yourself.
Mm-hmm. What was the thoughts of your friends and family then when you told them that you're going to start this new startup?
They thought we were crazy. They were just like, you know, who's going to do this? And are you really sure? So all of that happened. I think our parents were super encouraging and like close friends, but it was literally a question. Like whenever you know, I'd email someone about Surf Coffee, right? That's one of the first things I started doing, is writing to people I knew and telling them that something like this exists. And I remember meeting an acquaintance, and he was just like, oh, you want people to go online and key in really personal information? And I'm like, yes. And then he's like, you want people to pay for this? And I'm like, yes. And it so happened that, you know, life came full circle to a point where you won't believe, like a year later, he signed up with us and he went on a couple of dates. I mean, now he's a happy father. But you know what I mean is that you'll always sort of have the people who believe in you and the people who don't, but it's very important to just block out that noise. And of course, be open to feedback and criticism as well, right? Sometimes we get really caught up in who we are, and there comes an arrogance, right? And you can't blame someone, because it's literally like having a child, you know, this is something you've built from scratch and put in that blood, sweat, tears, the late nights, all of it. So we all get really defensive, but it's so important to take feedback the right way, to also be able to evolve with different practices and sort of trends and culture and the times that we live in.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is the one quality that, you know, startup first-time founders need then?
Courage, for sure. It's just that, you know, you need to just put your fears aside. And it is scary, right? Especially if you've quit a full-time job, you know, you're worried about how things are going to happen, having a business plan that is legit, which is why I think Sunil and I work really well together, because He's more of the admin financial brain of the service, and he knows, you know, what kind of decisions to take. And then I'm the more sort of operations and the people person, to be honest, right? Mm-hmm. I know what's happening on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So find people that you work best with, right? Mm-hmm. And having that courage, having faith, because we're all sometimes a little pessimistic or we don't believe in things. But once you have that courage, you just have to try. If things work out, great. If they don't, I think we're living in a time that it's very, very acceptable. Like the whole startup, the word startup is actually hip now. Mm. 10 years ago, no one used it. They thought that you were just, you know, bored or not talented enough and you had to quit jobs to find something else. Mm. But it's become, you know, it's become a craze, right? You have huge companies investing in smaller companies. And one of the reasons we've chosen to even maintain, like my own clients tell me, Nana, the day you're looking for an investor, please come to me because I actually use your service and I think it's awesome. but one of the reasons we're, you know, we've kind of stayed away from that till now is to really, you know, build our brand, make sure we're doing amazing work. That's the key thing. You have to focus on the right stuff. It's not just about PR and marketing and all of that. It's you have to walk the talk. Mm-hmm. And it takes courage to do that. So for so many years, we, and like I mentioned, right, we still don't advertise. So I think if you do good work, if you have the courage, the money will come. Mm. You know, the fame will come, the recognition will come. But don't get into stuff like for the wrong reasons, mm-hmm. right? You really need to believe in it with like nothing else, you know, like nothing else you've believed in before. And yeah, good things happen.
But yeah, it's interesting because you've been doing this for 10 years now. You must have seen a lot of dating sites come and go, but you're still going. You know, why do you think you're still going then?
Primarily, Neil, I think it's because, like I said, one of the main things is we're true to what we stand for. It's integrity, right? So a lot of services that have come and gone, and I've seen them. Like there was a service in India that was matching people on an app based on their likes, you know, like their hobbies and preferences. And it was ambitious. Like they spent a lot of money building the app. Like all this stuff is expensive to do, right? Mm. Even hiring the right team. And then it just, you know, left without a trace in like a year. There are apps or services that get funded and then don't see popularity. Because I really think we're, again, true to what we stand. If I were single today, I would go to a Surf Coffee myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I would want to meet a handful of really good, genuine people rather than, you know, put myself out there. Like, if I may use this example, Surf Coffee's popularity actually shot up once Tinder came to India. This may be surprising, but I think maybe it gave people a glimpse into the opposite side of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Right. So from not wanting to put your information online, from not wanting to pay for it, you have now your face plastered over an app with how far away you live and people really judging you in 30 seconds. So I think there was a whole new appreciation for what Surf Coffee was doing, because you do have the dating horror stories are real just in general. Right. Like I may meet someone even at work and not have such a good time. And then people began to recognize that, especially women, I think driving the change to sort of, you know, be more proactive, be more open about their choices. And I think going offline, these have been fantastic things. Mm-hmm. In the last 10 years, our business model hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. You still go on a blind date. We still interview you before you come on. Nothing has changed. And some people can digest that. Some people can't, and I'm really okay with it. You know, more power to them.
No, excellent stuff. Last few questions then. You mentioned your COO role. How is that different from the CEO role? And how do you find it? And what the skills and qualities are required for the COO role?
So I really think, you know, when it comes to being a CEO is that you really need to get your hands down and dirty on a daily basis. So I think it's really being in tune with every single thing that's happening at work on a day-to-day basis, to a point where you're also not just looking to grow and develop the business, but really making sure that, you know, the workings or the inner workings are flawlessly sort of, you know, in operation, right? And it's crazy to do operations. And a lot of people, you know, love it. A lot of people hate it because it's not as glamorous as it sounds. You know, when things are not going well, you have to step in and sort of really change the situation, right? If there's a situation that needs firefighting, that's when you're called in. Mm-hmm. And you need to know how everything works. Like in this span of 6 years, not only have I learned matchmaking or, you know, people management, I think I've learned every aspect of the business, right? From, you know, really, you know, detailed tech updates. Mm-hmm. I'm not a tech person. I'm not tech savvy. But I've been spending so much time understanding, you know, how tech works, because at the end of the day, it is the world we live in. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it's about having your ear to the ground and not just delegating, but really being that person in your team where it's like, what do we need to get done? Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Right. There's no glamour. There's no sort of fake position. I mean, I'm still, you won't believe if someone gives my number to a prospective applicant and they call me and they're like, hey, do you work at Surf Coffee? I'm like, yes, I do. How can I help you? Right. Mm-hmm. There's no arrogance associated with operations, I think. And I think helping the business grow is a huge, huge part of it, because that is just, you know, how you will get somewhere. So we're constantly looking at expanding, you know, our markets. We have an office. Hopefully, we're planning to set up a presence in Dubai in the first quarter of 2020. We're also planning a presence in the fourth quarter of 2020 in London. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, you also sort of need to make sure what's working is working right, but have your eye on the ball. Mm-hmm. So it's challenging. I mean, I'd be lying if I said there are days where I just don't want to get out of bed and pretend like I'm sick.
how do you keep on top of things? Intense. Yeah, how do you keep on top of things then?
Again, this is one of the things I mentioned. I think just staying mentally and physically fit is super important. It really helps with disposition, courage, and just sort of coming to work every day with a smile on your face. I think a supportive ecosystem. I have a very, very supportive husband who is amazing and constantly pushing me to do better along with my team. Mm-hmm. So I think these are the things that really sort of you know, help you do your job well. But the key also, Neil, if I may add, is to also know when to disconnect, right? I think the problem with entrepreneurs is that we're so married to our jobs or to our purpose is that sometimes, you know, the obsession is unhealthy and you need to step back. Like there's a, you know, I have a policy, you know, I sleep with my phone switched off.
Okay.
Because I really think like if there's an emergency, I mean, I don't think anyone's having a dating emergency, but, you know, everything can wait. And having that, you know, there was a point where I'd be up to like 2 a.m. and replying to emails. Even sometimes I wake up pretty, I'm a morning person. So I wake up early and, you know, I will look at my phone. I will, you know, send out emails and my team thinks I'm crazy. But then when they come to work, so much of, you know, stuff has already been done or things have moved ahead and they realize the value in that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about working smart, not working hard all the time. And you need to be judicious enough to know when things are, you know, I believe like in India, we're in the top 10 most unhappy countries in the world, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it's because people don't take vacation time, you know, they don't take enough vacation time. And you know, like, you know, companies around the world are doing a 4-day work week now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, is
right.
That the right thing to do? I mean, Microsoft said that, you know, productivity jumped up 40%. That's a big number. So I always ensure that my team's, you know, enjoying that kind of work-life balance as well. I'm like, if someone messages you in the middle of the night, you don't need to reply. Please don't feel obliged to. And, you know, if you're not happy at work, you're not going to be happy working for anyone.
Good stuff. Last few questions then. Do you have any like favorite books or blogs you recommend or any books that's helped you?
Yeah, I think a great blog by Bloomberg, Fully Charged. Mm-hmm. I think it's got great updates on what's happening. I love reading the relationship blogs on Medium. Mm-hmm. I think Medium is a fantastic digital, and these are all 3 to 5 minute reads, right? So you don't have to spend like days and days figuring out what's wrong with your relationship, or like 10 signs that, you know, you need to look for. So I think they're great, and it's a very, it's very honest and it's very real. One of the, a great read that I had recently, in terms of work at least, is I really enjoyed, Aziz Ansari's book, mm-hmm. Modern Romance. I think he's just cracked exactly what kind of world we're in and what we're trying to do in terms of dating. So Aziz, you know, he's actually conducted research. He's talked to like hundreds and hundreds of people about the whole, you know, dating app culture and why relationships work and why they don't. And I think that was fantastic. I think anyone who wants to understand love in the 21st century needs to read that book. I like reading Sapiens mm-hmm. by Yuval Noah Harari. I think people will always be a subject of curiosity. We always want to know, why do we think a certain way? What makes us us? How did the race evolve? You know, what do we think about community and family and relationships? And I thought he's one of my favorite historians for sure. And also, I think Daniel Kahneman, his book Thinking Fast and Slow, mm-hmm. right, which is a lot about cognitive behavior. Why do we make the decisions that we do? And he's sort of really, you know, I think cracked it with that. So yeah, I'm not, you know, a big fan of the popular bestsellers, you know, about how to sort of really ace that career and stuff. I think I love sort of just, you know, reading, you know, blogs by like real people, or even the New York Times column that they have, which has now been adapted into a series, right? Mm-hmm. Modern Love. I think it's now on Amazon. I think they're great slice of life stories that really help you understand, you know, just what's happening with people, because that's my job, you know, where businesses are also driven by people. And so there's a great sort of aura, or, you know, I think interest in people who are leading lives that we aspire to. Like, we all want to know what Elon Musk is up to, mm-hmm. right? We all want to know how people get their big ideas.
Last question then, for people who want more information on you and Surf Coffee, what must they do?
The best way to reach us is to visit our website and email us. Our email address is query@surfcoffee.com. And I'm pretty sure they will be responded to within one business day. So that's the best way to reach us. We're also on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram. You know, got to move with the times. But we're not on Snapchat.
We're on Snapchat. Okay.
Yeah, that's a little too young for my liking. Yeah.
Neda, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Neil. It's been lovely speaking with you.
Thanks to Neda for coming on the show today, and check out Surf Coffee for more information. If you do find love and end up getting married, please send me a wedding invitation. Thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. I shall be back next week. Thank you and goodbye.